Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sasamudram Upavishthirnam Apasyan Sumahat Sara Mahan Mana Iva Svacham
Prasanna
Shila. Salilashayam
Salilashayam
Samudram Upavishthirnam
Samudram Upavishthirnam
Apasyan Sumahatsara
Apasyan Sumahatsara
Mahanmana Iva Svacham
Mahanmana Iva Svacham
Prasanna Salilashayam
Prasanna Salilashayam
Samudram Upavishthirnam
Samudram Upavishthirnam
Apasyan Sumahatsara
Apasyan Sumahatsara
Mahanmana Iva Svacham
Mahanmana Iva Svacham
Prasanna Shalisham Prasanna Salilashayam
Prasanna Salilashayam
Samudram,
Samudram,
almost near the ocean.
Almost near the ocean.
Upa,
Upa,
more or less.
More or less.
Vishtirnam,
Vishtirnam,
very wide and long.
Very wide and long.
Apashyan,
Apashyan,
they saw.
They saw.
Sumahat,
Sumahat,
very great.
Very great.
Sara,
Sara,
reservoir of water.
Mahat,
great soul.
Great soul.
Mana,
mind.
Iva,
Iva,
life. Suacham,
Suacham,
clear. Prasanna,
Prasanna,
joyful.
Shalila,
water.
Water.
Ashayam,
Ashayam,
taken shelter of.
Taken shelter of.
Translation. While traveling, the Pachetas happened to see a great reservoir of water, which seemed almost as big as the ocean. The water of this lake was so calm and quiet that it seemed like the mind of a great soul, and its inhabitants, the aquatic, appeared very peaceful and happy to be under the protection of such a watery, wet reservoir. Purport. The word Sasamudra means near the sea. The reservoir of water was like a bay, for it was not very far from the sea. The water upa, meaning more or less, or the word upa, meaning more or less, is used in many ways, as in the word upapati, which indicates a husband more or less. That is to say, a lover who is acting like a husband. Upa also means greater, smaller, or near. Considering all these points, the reservoir of water, which is seen by the Pachetas while they were traveling, was actually a large bay or lake. And unlike the sea or ocean, which has turbulent waves, this reservoir was very calm and quiet. Indeed, the water was so clear that it seemed like the mind of some great soul. There may be many great souls, jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas, or pure devotees, are also called great souls, but they are very rarely found. One can find many great souls amongst yogis and jnanis, but a truly great soul, a pure devotee of the Lord, who is fully surrendered to the Lord, is very rarely found. Samahatma Sadur Labha, Bhagavad Gita 7:19. A devotee's mind is always calm, quiet, and desireless, because he is always anyavilashita shunyam, having no desire other than to serve Krishna as his personal servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. Due to this, his association with Krishna, a devotee is always very calm and cool. It is also significant that within that reservoir, all the aquatics were also very calm and quiet. Because the disciples of a devotee have taken shelter of a great soul, they become very calm and quiet and are not agitated by the waves of the material world. This material world is often described as an ocean of nescience. In such an ocean, everything is agitated. The mind of a great soul is also like an ocean or a very large lake because there is no agitation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2:41, Vyavasayatmika bhutir, aka Hakuru Nandana. Those who are fixed in the service of the Lord are not agitated by anything. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita 6:22. Yasmin stito na dukena guru napi vichalayet. Even if he suffers some reversals in life, a devotee is never agitated. Therefore, whoever takes shelter of a great soul or a great devotee becomes pacified. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.149, it is stated, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. A devotee of Lord Krishna is always peaceful because he has no desire, whereas the karmis, the yogis, karmis, and jnanis have so many desires to fulfill. One may argue that the devotees have desires, for they wish to go home, back to Godhead. But such a desire does not agitate the mind. Although he wishes to go back to Godhead, a devotee is satisfied in any condition of life. Consequently, the word mahan mana is used in this verse to indicate that the reservoir of water was as calm and quiet as the mind of a great devotee. So here we see also the values of the personalities who are chanting Bhagavatam and hearing Bhagavatam. That these wonderful qualities, devotional qualities, and their manifestation in the lives of the devotees, then these become, you know, inspiring. Because if this was some other treatise or some poetic element, social aspect, then it could be compared to something else. The calm and quiet lake could be compared to any other sorts of poetic material aspects. And so, we see here is that the sages, for them what's important is devotional service. So, Prabhupada pointed out here is that it's rare to find such a personality whose mind is so peaceful, this great body of water, that it's very, very peaceful. Everyone's very satisfied. Of course, the energy of the ocean is always attractive, but that peacefulness people always appreciate. If it came between making your residence on, the turbulent ocean and so much energy and all the rocks and crashing, or on the very calm, peaceful bay with the very clear water. Generally you find if there is ever a possibility, there is always a city on that bay. Always. Not that the bays are left and all these rocky crevices are where they build. No, they always pick the bay. Because by nature, peacefulness, that equalness, that steadiness is very much appreciated. Because then there's no distress, no disturbance. So, as is being pointed out here, is that though it's rare to find such a personality, you might find among the jnanis and yogis. You might. But it's more rare than amongst devotees. Because the devotee has reached the conclusion. We have to be very, very careful and to analyze this element of peace, or any good quality for that matter. Because you're dealing with Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. They're all non-different. At the same time as Bhagavan is superior. Why is he superior? Because of the interaction. Because of the personal consideration. The Brahman and Paramatma, though, is impersonal. But Vaishnava definition impersonal means it's not considering the personal. Right? Just like material means not in connection with the Lord. So it means you're not considering the personal element. It doesn't mean that there's no qualities and there's no forms and there's no activities. This is a mistake we made. We're conditioned by so many lifetimes of hearing these, impersonal philosophies, that we have the idea impersonal means nothing. There's no such thing as nothing. So it just sounds great. But it's not real. Impersonal means you're not considering the personal interaction. That's what impersonal means. Because you can be in an environment, so many people there and that, and you're not interacting with anyone. What will we say about the person? He's impersonal. Does that mean he's just this little bright light floating around the room? Or actually doesn't float, because that's a quality, so he's just there as this light. Right? You understand? So, the jnani, or that platform, means peace is appreciated. And we act in such a way for peace. Right? So we're doing things for equality. Save this. Peace. Support. Care. Sound familiar? But care what? You're saying it's about a person. But you're caring about the person because you want to care. It's not about the actual interaction with the person. You save the blue whale. It's not that you're out there, sporting with the blue whales and, communing with the blue. You're just acting in such a way that people don't bother the blue whale. Does this make sense? It's very subtle. It's important to understand because that's just being brought out here. Is that why devotional service is superior. Then Paramatma means you perform your duties. I am dutiful. I do what I'm supposed to do. But you're doing what you're supposed to do means you're doing the activity. but it's still not personal as such. When you do it because it pleases Krishna, that's personal. There's a difference. But for, generally speaking, because we're used to this impersonal platform, then we say, why do this? Oh, Krishna likes it. Why cook in this way? Oh, Krishna likes it. Oh, no, but we're Westerners. So it's not about personal. It doesn't fly. Or, no, we're supposed to cook this because it's deity worship. We're worshiping Krishna, so we should cook like this for Krishna. So it's in consideration of the person, but it's not personal. You know? Does that make sense? You know, or this is good, this is pious, it's a proper way of cooking. Then it's in consideration, because even when we say impersonal, there's no, as we stated before, there's no such thing as impersonal mean nothingness. Impersonal simply means it may be connected to the person, but it's not actually in consideration of the actual person's needs, or their actual perspective, or the interaction with the person. Very subtle. But this is that's the point. We'll say, oh, that's not different. That's the point. Brahman, Paramatma are non-different. But at the same time, they are. So much of the time we're feeling good about ourselves because we're working for something of a higher, superior, position. It's just Brahman. It's impersonal. You know, as we were commenting before, you know, people are dying. We got to worry about this, you know, death. But we're not worried about the person. We're worried about the concept of oldness or death. Not that it's not part of the whole scene, but it's only the situation. Right? Your duties are activities in the situation. But it doesn't become personal until you connect the result and that interactiveness, that affection to the person. That's how it works. Right? So that's why Bhagavatam is giving these things. And this is fourth canto. So we're not talking tenth here. We're talking fourth. And we're trying to break our habit of impersonal perspective. Otherwise, we don't really appreciate the 10th canto. Right? Because it's something you're supposed to do, or it's nice. You know? I feel good when I read the pastime. It's nice, good. That means there's some purity, there's some attraction, there's some... But it's not so much that Krishna's important, just that when you read it, you feel good. If you read it and didn't feel good, you wouldn't read it. We understand the subtlety? So this means is that this defines the sadhaka, and this defines the person on the platform of prema. Prema means it's consistently, always personal. And sadhaka means that occasionally it's personal and occasionally it's not. Right? The more advanced means there's more personal, and the less advanced means there's more impersonal. Does that make sense? You know? Oh, they did this. They're so nasty. So what are we bothered by? We're bothered by the Brahman, by the impersonal, the quality. It's not actually the person. It's just nastiness. So we're not actually connecting with the person. No, I don't want to turn everybody's life upside down here, but the point is we have to understand there's a reason that the verse goes, Nirvishe Shunyavadi Paschatya. Paschatya means Westerner. Paschatya Deshatarane, the Western Desh is full of impersonalism and voidism. Because impersonalism is actually a step up from voidism. Because voidism means you think there's nothing. Mayavad means you think there's nothing. Because Mayavad has just covered Buddhism. So that's the worst. Better than that is it's just impersonal, that you understand there's qualities there and this and that. But we'll think, no, this is not impersonal. This is very personal. I really care about this. Yeah, you care, but does the other person care that you care? You know, Jamuna Devi's going, finally, somebody cares. You know what I'm saying? Like that. We're worried about pure water. Why? Because now that's the whole thing about pure water. When I was a kid, I think even now, when I went back to my home, visited my mom, you just go to the tap right there in the kitchen, coming out of the pipes, turn it on and drink it. Most other cities, I think you can't do that. At least there you can. You know, so it's just, it wasn't a big deal. No one thought pure water or this and that. Now it's like you got to buy it in a bottle. Then it's like, you know, how far into the Himalayas, you know? You know, our bottle of water was collected, you know, 500 miles into the Himalayas. So it's even better, right? You know? Is that? So the thing is, because now purity and that natural, ecological, then we're thinking about it. But the point is what we're talking about is our material concept of the Jamuna. Jamuna is always there. There's 9 islands here. That means there's 9 rivers between all these islands. It's always here. Now, whether we can see it or not, that's another thing. You understand? So the spiritual element is not missing. What's flowing or through there is fine spiritual. If that's appreciated, then there might be, you know, the approach of presentation is different, but it's kind of like, we're going to get it back. We're the ones doing it. So you understand what I'm saying? This is working on the impersonal platform. It's just the element of pure water. You know, that nice clear water flowing through the fingers. It's not about Jamuna water. You know, we'll get the mercy. It's like, I am doing it. Like, I'm going to go up and I'm going to bathe the deity and I'm going to get the mercy. It's not about pleasing the Lord. Mercy means when the Lord is pleased, then he's kind upon you. That's called mercy. No, it's by my activity, I'm getting the mercy. It has nothing to do with the deity. Like that. Nothing to do with the deity. It's all about getting in there. How many times they get the bait? He did 3 times. How come you're only saying, you know, I can do 2 times? Where's the deity? Where's the personal aspect with the deity? Where's Bhagavan in this? No, it's simply I'm getting the mercy. It's not even this is what I'm supposed to do. Because they already made the announcement, only pujaris and you know the senior Vaishnavas there. No, but everybody wants to. So it's nothing about duty. So it doesn't even get to the Paramatma level. It's Brahman. I'm getting mercy. But what is this mercy that I'm getting? What does it look like? Where did it come from? Why did I get it? I have decided if I go up there and do this, I get the mercy. Right? I mean, it has some connection because it's Brahman. It has some connection there. Shastra does say, by worshipping the deity, all these things are there. But we're not thinking about, those are just to create the situation. You create a situation, in the situation you have to do something. Right? You know, you make the arrangements nicely, you set up the tables nicely, you put out the plates and that, you try to create a nice atmosphere, you see that it looks nice, you know, there's nothing there, get rid of the flies or mosquitoes, or, you know, put some incense, or, it's a situation, so you're trying to make a nice situation. But what's supposed to happen in the situation, right? Then we'll serve prasad nicely. Why are we setting it up nicely? Because you're supposed to serve the Vaishnavas. That's our duty, right? But then when the Vaishnavas come and sit, are we interacting with them? Or it's just a matter of we create a nice atmosphere. Are they going to notice, you know, we're serving very nicely? Are they going to be, you know, think that, yes, these guys really know what they're doing, you know, they're very pious? Or is it going to be, it's a matter of you trying to please them? You know, it's, you know, sweet goes on where the salt is, you know. You sit there and smile because you're so happy to be there getting the mercy that you don't notice they have nothing on their plate. You know, like that. Or a famous one is, you know, there's a cup there for drink, but there's never anything in it. You know, like that. You know, it's just like, because the devotees are like, you know, how you say, like flowers, you know, like the, and one-third of all flowers in the world are connected to the orchid family. So they just absorb moisture from the air. Yeah, you understand? So in other words, we're not quite getting to the personal level. But it's a good environment, and basically speaking, if you got up to what I'm talking about now, probably most any senior person would be very happy. But it still hasn't gone to the personal. So that's what's special when we hear about, was it Shutadev? The Brahmin? Krishna was someplace visiting. He went and they went out of his way. And he went and visited this king and this Brahmin. Bahulasva. Okay. Bahulasva and Shutadev. So then he went to the Brahmin's house and he's so absorbed in the person that he didn't even notice that he wasn't performing the duty properly. And nobody was caring that there was no atmosphere. Right? Because it's just their empty house with nothing in it, and they somehow know they had some bananas and they're feeling bananas. But they're so absorbed in the person. So now you could also have it, you're so absorbed in the person that you also make it nice. But if it was somebody pointed it out, they would happily change and give them the bananas and throw away the peels. But they didn't notice, and Krishna was having such fun, he didn't mention it. Because they're dealing with Bhagavan. That's what's special. Right? But otherwise, then it was, you know, early, it's all about Krishna, we're doing this for Krishna, and people ask you why, what's that? We don't know. But we didn't care either, because it's for Krishna. You know, then as comes time, as you know, then the boys in the 70s start to learn what this is. Okay, there's this rule and that rule, and now we're supposed to do this, like that, you know, something like that. And that, so nice, but then it's there. And then now it's all, you know, Brahman at best. You know, because you have the good, there's a thing, you know, and there's something, you know. Do we catch the point? Is that we think it's improving. It's not. Improving is Bhagavan. That's what we have to look for. But it's not sentimental, because it's a real person. So sentiment means you just do what you like. You don't actually notice. No, that's why sahajas aren't dealing with the person. Right? Because they're just, it's just all doing what they feel would be great. But it's not that Krishna cares. Right? So it's just about them feeling good. So they're impersonalists. So that's what I say, when you have the razor's edge, and then off the razor's edge is a personalism. Right? Whether you like the sahajas who don't follow the rules and saw the bhav, or those who, you know, very strictly the smartest who follow the rules. It's both impersonal. So there's personal, the devotional path, and then there's what's not the path, that's impersonal. Does that make sense? So, when... Does this make sense? So, here then is being pointed out that the devotee is very special because he he's dealing with the person, then there is no other desire. Because if you're dealing with the person, it's all about what you can do for the person. So whatever situation you're in, you simply see it in connection to that person. Right? You know, newborn babies just come to the house. So mother was in the house before. She's been walking around it for a long time. Right? But now, the first time coming back with the newborn child, now she starts to look at it not from her house, just how she moves around and what's easy to get at, and like that, but what's going to be good for the baby. Oh, we can't have that there, you know, that sharp, or this is dangerous, or, you know, we have a Rottweiler here, you know, might eat the kid. You know, so all these different things that we didn't consider before. Because we're looking at it connected to the person. So that's what a devotee does, is whatever situation he's in, he simply looks at it connected to the person, to Krishna. And that's why there is no material desire. So it's not like they have to grit their teeth and you're like this, yeah, this is so tough. No. That's what I said. Desires come and go. That's just what the mind does. Mind, we have to remember the mind's not us. It's another entity. In fact, it's a dead entity. It's dead matter. It's Krishna's potency of mindness flows through the dead matter of that makes up mind. So it just does whatever it does. It has a mechanical process that it goes through, and Maya takes care of that. She's in charge of all these elements. So it just does what it does. So therefore, the devotee, it doesn't bother him that this came up, so what? That there's this opportunity for Krishna. All these others come up, so what? Does that make sense? It's just the absorption is something else, so it doesn't matter. Just like you're sitting in a bus station and you're talking to a friend. Everybody else in the bus station is also talking, but you don't hear it. Right? Does that make sense? And even if somebody over on one side, somebody yells or screams, you look up for a moment and then go back to your conversation. You know? So you would try it. Something really loud comes up, he notices it, spits, goes back to his conversation. So that's the whole point, is that it's not a disturbance because... You understand? So, as we discussed before, the Brahman and Paramatma levels are important because where are you going to function? Is the person just in the ozone, just floating around? No, they're in a situation. That means what are you doing? You're dealing with qualities. Right? And there's rules, there's duties to perform. Does this make sense? But the point is those ultimately have to get to the person. Right? The examples I gave before, though in themselves, these, if they're taken all the way to the person, nice. But if they're not, there's a connection to God. But it's not what's being afforded. Bhagavatam is giving us the opportunity of recognizing the person. That's the Upanishads hint at this. Vedanta Sutra hints at this. You know, that's the goal, but it's specifically giving the details of how to deal with the Brahman and Paramatma levels. Bhagavatam is unique because everything about it is about the person. Does that make sense? Just like we said before, you're serving prasad, the whole point is about the interaction, but the quality of the interaction, you have the ability and facility, of course you're going to make first-class arrangements and utilize those arrangements in a very proper way. Right? So the niceness of it and the proper performance of the activities will be there. They naturally complement. Because you interact in a situation. You interact through activities. So we should now get the idea that these qualities and the duties have no meaning. No, they have complete important meaning. But unless you bring it all the way to the Bhagavan, it doesn't carry the same flavor. It just doesn't. So that's why we always have to, that's why it's always being said is that we'll say, okay, we want to do devotional service. We're talking about doing devotional service. So then it'll be, so you need a situation to do devotional service. Therefore, we follow the Shastra, we follow the Vedas, Varnashram is there. You know, so many rules and regulations, elements of sacrifice, charity, austerity. All that's there. That's the situation in which to offer that to Krishna. Because if you're going to offer something to Krishna, you want to offer superior qualities, not inferior qualities. Like that. So, but then after that it'll say, but these things have no meaning if they're not connected to the Lord. And so what's our conclusion? Right? Rules and regulations, varnashram, all that has no importance. So then we put ourselves back in that, you know, impersonal state. Because how do you relate to a person if there's nothing to relate on? Right? You want to have a conversation, you want to interact with the person, but you can't talk because there's no language. Right? There's no social custom, so you can't do anything there. Right? There's no food, there's no, you know, so what are you going to do? You can't. So you need the situation to interact. But the situation only is of value when you interact. So that's what is trying to be pointed out, is that situating yourself in the devotional process is the first step. But then the next step is doing that because it pleases Krishna. That's what we're trying to get to. That's pure devotional service. Being done because it pleases Krishna, not because we're getting the benefit. Does this make sense? So, you know, we shouldn't make the mistake that in the beginning of the class we're saying that these things are not important. They are important. You know, because Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, it's God. So God consciousness means being conscious of these three. So if you're conscious of any one of them, that's good. But when you're conscious of Bhagavan, it includes the other two. Because Brahman and Paramatma don't include Bhagavan. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You're saying that if you don't have great knowledge of the first level of Godhead, it's Krishna himself, there's no question of pleasing him.
So knowledge. We don't have direct knowledge of Krishna.
If you don't like, know who is Krishna, like, then there's no question of pleasing him. That's what you're saying. Right?
No. You can ask if that's what I'm saying. You shouldn't conclude that's what I'm saying. That would be improper.
Okay, sorry. So, are you saying that if you don't have knowledge of Krishna, who as a person, there's no question of coming to the Bhagavan platform?
Okay, so here, okay, question is, if are we implying that if you don't have knowledge about Krishna as a person, then we actually can't or are not functioning in actual devotional service? Okay, so that's how you ask a question, is you make it clear what's your context. Yeah, because the thing is, it's just like we said, you want to get a result, but you have to know what the field is. You know what I'm saying? Because if we're dealing with logic, you give the field, then you give the activities and the result. If we're dealing with the mind, we start with kind of the end, and maybe we'll make it back if the vibe works. You know what I'm saying? But then no one knows the field. So, I guess there's no mic today. Because even though I rephrase what you say and actually say what you say, no one thinks, well, what was the question? Because I never exactly repeat it as the question. I say what you said. So, I mean, you can apply it to other religions, but more important is for us to apply it in our own religion. Because if you don't have knowledge of the person, then it doesn't really get to that platform. But if someone really wants to know that, they will contact, because that facility is always available. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's always available. There are always pure devotees on the planet. There's never, oh, this one goes, then nobody's there. No, there always is. The flow of pure devotional service is always present. So if we want, we'll get. But if you don't have that knowledge, then how do you know that the situation that you are trying to be God conscious in is actually one that's progressive? You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise you're making things up. Does that make sense? You know, the guy, you know, they land in America, and people don't like that he's got, you know, a few more wives than everybody else. So, you know, it doesn't go down well. So he just keeps walking until he gets out, literally out in the middle of nowhere, right? Then they can settle down and peacefully live. But where did all the rules come from? Where did it come from that he lives in one house with all his wives and each get a bedroom? Where did that come from? You know, or, you know, who does what? Or who's the senior? Who cooks lunch? Or where did that come from? Did they make it up? Right? So it's social custom. Right? It's your common law, or common like that. So you're working on the platform of Niti. You're not actually dealing with religion. Religion is given by God. Right? And all these other aspects we make up. So the point is therefore we want to see that we're connecting ourselves what is given by God. Right? Because that's very clear. We have to apply what's given by God into our life. So there must be a process. But it can't be what we're applying, we've just made up. Because if you look at it, you know, how many can say it's come from God? Who handed it to them? Who gave it to them? So we see here is God speaking to these different personalities. So it's been delivered. Then now, taking that, you get derivatives of that. But the thing is okay, as far as the knowledge goes, I mean, as far as the position goes, but what about the ritual? What about the identity? What about these? Then we're making those up, so it gets farther and farther away, more distant. Do you know what I'm saying?
So not really on the Brahman level?
No, everybody's on the Brahman level. It's a matter of whether you recognize it or not. There's no question of not being on the Brahman level, because we're all Brahman. You know what I'm saying? The soul is Brahman. The material energy is Brahman. Krishna's potencies are all Brahman. So everyone's on the Brahman platform. It's just, if you don't understand you're on the Brahman platform, that's called illusion. That's Maya. If you understand, that's there. But they'll go by good qualities. But that's what I'm saying. At best, they get to the Brahman platform. Or some of them have a tradition, so there's rules and regulations. Even though they made it up, but still, they made it up, you still have to follow it. You make up a rule that, okay, you know, you join this club, you don't wash your jeans for, you know, like that. You never wash them. So if you wash them, you're breaking the rules. There'll be a reaction from that, from the material energy. Right? It means there's a reaction for not washing your pants and being unclean, but there's an extra one for not following your rule that you've accepted as a rule. You understand? You made it up. Right? You make up your New Year's resolutions and you break them. You feel bad. Why? Because you're not supposed to break rules that you make up. Even though you should be following rules that someone else handed down through parampara. But even if you're going to take the step of making them up, you have to follow them. Right? You know, that's why you see these little kids, you know, aren't satisfied because they make up again. As they go, they change the rules. You know, there are no rules. So there's no satisfaction. They just fight and this and that. You know what I'm saying? So the one that can accept rules, they can play as a group. The one that can't, he has to play alone. Does that make sense? So, but here's what we're referring to is that the devotee starts there, and that's a superior quality. But the superior qualities are Krishna, but unless you connect them to Krishna, you're not getting the benefit of the devotional element. Otherwise, it just becomes... It's just pranamoya, it's just nice work. You know what I'm saying? And so the nice work may be connected to things that are traditionally devotional. So it has a little bit of connect, but it's still just nice work. Right? So how much we're seeing that it's for the pleasure of Krishna, and how much we're not, that is called mixed devotional service. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the greater we see it connected, the more advanced in the mixed it is. The less we see it, the less advanced. But the point is every devotee is connecting their life in some way to Krishna, so therefore they're practicing the process of devotional service in sadhana. Right? But as we said, is here, even most people when they talk about raganuga, they're not talking raganuga at all. You know, they define that they're talking raganuga. Hey, you know, so what? You know, the guys around the block have decided if your pants look like they're going to fall off, that's cool. They decided that. Nobody else thinks it's cool. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that they rag because it's there, because you do it, because you get such a taste, you get that bomb, you know, like that. But where's Krishna in it? What's Krishna getting out of it? And then if you say that, no, but it says here you're supposed to follow in the footsteps, you're supposed to read these things, you're supposed to, yeah, you're supposed to. That's called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Hello? It's not wrong, but it's all, you know, it's just, so even our, all this feeling, it's all still on the Brahman platform. That's why he's saying is the material world is no actual good quality. The real good quality starts from Bhagavan. So the devotees have them. The non-devotees can't. It's just the manifestation of Brahman by the modes of nature at this time. Now he looks really nice. Come back later. He won't be nice. You know? This lifetime he's a nice little old lady and this and that. Next life, you know, that's the kid around the corner that, you know, throws rocks through your window. You know what I'm saying? Because she's really annoyed about the kids who throw rocks through her window. So next life she becomes the kids throwing the rocks through the window. So what soul in the material platform has good qualities? They don't. They're borrowed. You can say there's a manifestation of a good quality, but you can't say the karmi has a good quality. No, he's just borrowing that. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy, the person goes out, they rent the limousine, they rent the tuxedo, you know, like that, you know, so like that. So you can't say they have that opulence. It's borrowed. So yes, it is manifesting. They look nice, you know, everything's good, but you can't say they have that. It's just borrowed. So therefore, the materialist, it's only borrowed. It's not theirs. It's just the modes manifested at this time due to, you know, previous karma. He had the opportunity, he could go to the, you know, the program, so therefore, and he had the money so he could get the suit and the limo. It just happened, the circumstances were right. You know, but if it happened 2 weeks before, 2 weeks after, he might not have been able to get it. He wouldn't have had it. Or all the limos were booked, or all the suits were booked. You understand? So the whole point is that it's coming, it's what's authorized from the acharyas, because these are the forms, these are the activities. Right? That are done to please Krishna. Right? So the form, which is the impersonal aspect, this is the fun part about our impersonalism. Our impersonalism is the form, right? They're saying impersonal means no form. No, we're saying it's just the form. You know what I'm saying? You have this. Here's car calls. That's a form. That's the Brahman level. Now that you take them and you hold them in a particular way and play like this and in time with the music and, you know, you see you don't play louder than who's singing or try to go faster, slow. Those are the duties. That's the Paramatma level. That I'm doing that because the kirtan pleases Krishna. That's the Bhagavan. So every form is the Brahman level. Every action is the Paramatma level. But doing it to please Krishna, that takes it to Bhagavan. Does that make sense? Because the forms and actions are manifest by the internal potency. So the internal potency, you know, takes care of that. But the head of the internal potency is Ladini, which is to please Krishna. So Sandini creates the forms. Samvit makes the activities. But it's Ladini it's for the pleasure. That's why everyone follows Radharani. Right? Does that make sense? Yoga Maya arranges the situation. Right? Vrindik brings out all the paraphernalia. Right? They're out in the middle of the forest. They went out there with nothing. How is it now they have all these vinas and everything and all these nice things? Because Vrinda provides. She has go-downs all over the place. She has her assistants who bring it all. Right? So the arrangement is there. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, we don't have to, we're scared of Mayavad. And we're scared of the concept of impersonal as a goal. That's what Prabhupada says, if this is where it ends, that's bogus. But we're not scared of Brahman. Because we're situated in Brahman. The problem is that we get to Brahman, then there's no material problem. We're happy. Oh, there's no material problem, so that's good. No, but the point is we have to get to, we'll only really be happy when we're interacting with Krishna and making Him happy. That's it, yes.
Maharaj, I wouldn't know where to begin, really, because you've opened up such a kind of worms.
Oh, yeah.
I feel.
That's why I didn't go farther earlier, because I didn't want to break down everybody's world.
What would you say to the devotee who feels that it's becoming almost impossible to make that breakthrough from what you called earlier on the impersonal perspective?
Well, it's not for me. I got that term from Prabhupada.
Yeah. But I think it's a classic.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, is the problem.
Yes.
And what would you say to the devotee who feels that been making all the right moves for you?
Right.
Wearing the right clothes,
yes.
Speaking the lingo.
Right.
Some of us even live in a place like this now.
Right.
For instance, and some like me get to visit for a few weeks.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right.
But still, I go back to the West and
yes. Because the thing is, what's there is, and that is the change, the environment changes. So that means you're dealing with a different standard of the manifestation of the Brahman. It means you're dealing with inferior qualities. Like here, superior is more prominent, right? You know, and then India, it's still quite prominent, right? But then as you leave India, it starts to get less and less prominent. It means the farther west you go, the less prominent it is. Like that. So it's the environment, but the devotee, the beauty of the whole thing is then if you go back, it just to go off on another point, just so it makes it clear, is the, which we don't want to open another can of worms, is the living entity only desires, right? Because let's say you desire something, right? That's on the Brahman class. Paramatma, what do you call it? He sanctions it. Then the modes of nature carry it out. But because it happens in line with your desire, then you think, I've done it. You know, like I scratch my head. But I'm only scratching because Paramatma sanctioned it. And the modes of nature, I'm 1/10,000 of the air. I can't possibly lift this whole arm. Let alone in such a, you know, way to make it go back and forth, you know. So we're not actually doing anything, you know. Ultimately, all we can do is desire. So that's the point, is that's always available. So even whether one's in the most ideal environment or the worst environment, you can still desire to serve and please Krishna. So that means any devotee anywhere at any time can perfect their life and develop love for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The process is so simple, but because it's so simple, we'll take it as simplistic. It's not. It's very voluminous in its detail to be able to define between pure and impure. And that's why we take it even further, because of all the philosophies, they can take, means your dvait, vishishta dvait, vishuddha dvait, and dvait advait. Those can take it up to pure devotional service. But pure unalloyed devotional service, you have to have achinta beta beta tattva. You know, there has to be to be able to see two things happening at once that are contradictory, because that's hard to accommodate, right? How can the man be, you know, good and bad at the same time? You know, I think that was, I'm not sure who it was. It was one, you know, Pretty Boy Floyd or what is it? You know, one of those guys like that. But his mother said, but he loved his mother, you know, he was such a nice son. You know, and everybody else, he's, you know, one of the biggest demons, you know, like that. But his mother said, no, but he was such a nice boy. So to be able to accommodate those things and work out, okay, that part's good, you keep that, the other part's bad. Because the other ones you just look at only the good, or you separate, and here's the good, here's the bad, so you just take this. It makes it very clear, but to be able to work with two things at once, so that's the thing, is we're dealing with this impersonal and paramatma simply because of our conditioning. Because if we're on the transcendental platform, it would be called Samvit and Sandini. We wouldn't look at it from the impersonal. You know what I'm saying? It's personal because you're only doing it for Krishna, but you want to please Krishna, you have to have an environment, and it's expressed through using the senses or activity. Right? Means, in other words, whatever situation you're in, that's the Brahman platform, you engage your senses with the sense objects, right? That's the Paramatma thing, in to please Krishna. That's Bhagavan, right? Or the situation you're in, Sandini, to engaging the senses, means you're using your knowledge and the activity, that's Sambit, you know? And to please Krishna, Vladini. Right? So Satchidananda. It's just there. But if you can't function connected to Krishna, we're given the reflection of Satchidananda, so we have goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the environment is the situation is ignorance. That's why it's always a problem. This natural situation of the mundane is ignorance. Right? The natural activity is passion, because you want to get the result for yourself. Right? You know, and goodness simply means, okay, you've worked in the present. Those who are intelligent work in the present, but their goal of working in the present isn't the mode of goodness. It's not for upliftment. It's simply to gain their results. It's a mode of passion. You know, and what they're trying to gain is based on ignorance. So, does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is we can always desire. So that's the point. The key that we sometimes forget when we get into either the rules too much or the philosophy too much or too much new age or this or that, as we forget, no, it's simply the desire to please. I want to chant purely. That's the qualification. It's not that you sit there and you put a blanket over your head, or you won't talk to anybody, or, you know, you're from this time to this time. No, those are things to help. The real point is, I want to chant purely, or I want to develop love for Krishna, or I want to, you know, please the Vaishnavas. Right? That's the real drive of devotional service. That's what we can't forget. But it's not that just because you have that and don't follow the otherwise the forms and the activities, how do you manifest it? If I really want to please Krishna, how am I going to express it? I have to use forms and activities. So what forms and activities am I going to choose? Ones I make up, ones I prefer, or the ones recommended? Right? So whatever I use, if I ultimately connect it to Krishna, it's glorious. But at the same time, if I'm really dealing with the person, ultimately I'd have to do it because this is the way he likes it. You know? That's just the way, you know. You know, the girl, she's a country girl. She likes to be out there on her, you know, horse and riding around and go out there and, you know, do whatever she does and breathe the fresh air and wear a cowboy hat and that. But the boy is from the city. And so she moves to the city. You know, she can't say, well, I'm a country girl and I got to stay out here and that. You know, so it's just, she could. Then marry a country guy. You know what I'm saying? But the point is it's that's a considered sacrifice. So it's just a matter of how much we can make, you know, and not go crazy. You know, so it's regulated. That's the idea of regulation, is you regulate the sacrifice. So it's the amount that you can do on a steady basis. And by doing it, knowledge and renunciation come, so you can do more. And then gradually it increases. But to just say, oh, it doesn't matter because we're different, so therefore, no, that's not progressive. Right? It's not dynamic. Does that make sense? So it just naturally, you have to have forms. You have to have activity. But the point is in the beginning, we want to make up our own. Then we'll, you know, follow what we're, you know, it's a mix. We'll start with the better ones of what I'm doing. I take my Western lifestyle, okay, take out the meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. What's left, that, you know, I like. I'll engage that in Krishna service. So that's better. But then there's the thing, well, I could make these adjustments in my life, and that would be also according to the tradition. It's not that the tradition is what makes the devotional service. It's just tradition is there because that's what Mother Jashoda does. You know, the great personalities, they do what we call tradition. It's not the rules. It's what they did to please Krishna. That's what we call tradition. Right? Does that make sense? That's all. The rule is simply to that you don't, I don't know the tradition, let's say. I don't know. So therefore, there's rules to make sure I'm doing it nicely. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, it's a final example. Someone's driving. Okay. Now he understands how dangerous driving is. So he would be, I don't know if they still use the term, but he's a
defensive
driver. So he knows that people where the roads cross, there could be some person going by there. Either they're supposed to go by or they could be crazy. So he will slow down anyway, whether there's a stop sign or not. But there are people that don't care. If they can drive, they'll drive. So therefore, you have to put a light there because they won't stop. So that's why the rules are there. It's because we don't understand the actual, what's underneath it, what's underlying it. Right? You're supposed to get from point A to B safely. Now, if you have a nice time while you're doing it, great, that's additional. But if you have a nice time and then you're dead, it's really hard to appreciate. You know what I'm saying? Dead bodies aren't really known for, you know, standing up and going, whoopee, you know, like that. You know, and if they do, you got problems, you know. Definitely you want to head the other way, right? So, does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Rules and regulations aren't there to make our life miserable. It's simply so that we have a structure so that we know how to act in a way that actually is pleasing to Krishna. That's all. You know what I'm saying? That's why we can say we don't care for the rules. No, we don't. We care about pleasing Krishna. The rules simply define what the tradition is. You know? And it's not because it's tradition. It's because that's what pleases Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it's Vedanta philosophy goes beyond all conditioning, so anybody anywhere can appreciate it. But the difficulty is applying the detail into your particular situation. That's why then it's Shastra says one should be thoughtful, right? Or you know one has to contemplate, you know, how to apply that into my situation, right? Like that. Then anyone, anywhere can make their life dynamic. You know, it can be comfortable. It can have taste, no matter what it is. So it's not what it is. It's actually how you deal with it, right? But because we're conditioned, certain things tend to make us act materially. That's why it's recommended change the material situations to ones that aren't normal. Right? You know what I'm saying? So because of that, then that's why they're brought out. Because then you think, it's just like, it's time to eat. I just go in and sit down and start eating. No, but it Shastra says you're supposed to wash your hands, mouth, and feet before you eat. Right? So doing that, that's not normal. You know, for the Western lifestyle. So that means sitting down, there's something more happening than just eating. There's honoring prasad. So the rules make it so I realize what I'm actually doing. Because you just sit down and eat. You're eating prasad. You're getting spiritual benefit. But how much more benefit you would get if you actually were conscious that I'm honoring prasad. So that's why the rules are there. They simply create structures by which you have more opportunity to have that desire. But all they're trying to do is make that desire. Right? What was the whole point? The gopis became perfect in a moment. Why? Because they had that desire. Maharaj Katvanga became perfect in the moment because of the desire. So that's what we're trying to do. Okay? Okay. Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.